Good morning, Rock Church. How are you guys doing this morning? Yeah. Happy New Year's. You guys doing okay? You got resolution? Let's be honest. Where are you at? You give yourself like a C, C minus so far? Well, welcome to the Rock Church. If you are new or newer, my name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rock. It's awesome to be able to worship with you this morning. It's awesome to be able to preach for you guys. God's really spoken to me and humbled me a lot over last week putting this message together, so I'm excited to share with you. And if you're online too, because we're in global, I just want to say hello and welcome to those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube. And I know my mama is. My mom's health prevents her from coming to church often, so hey mama, I love you. Good morning. For the rest of us, glad you're here. If you didn't know, we are in a new series. This is week two, the Get Wisdom series, where we're looking through the book of Proverbs. We're seeing what God has to say in areas of our lives. Last week, Pastor Josh talked about our heart, and this week, we're talking about something really cool. We're talking about our words, which is awesome because God's word has lots to say about what we say, so we have something awesome this morning for you. And if you remember, Josh wanted to encourage you guys. We've been trying to beat this drum here. We've been wanting to encourage the church every day to be reading the book of Proverbs together over the next 13 weeks, every single day, whatever today is. Today's the 13th. You read Proverbs 13, or was today the 13th? Am I in October? Is it October? Something, I don't know. If it wasn't for my phone, guys, I don't know what I would do. I'm surprised I got here. But Proverbs, every single day, we've been going through that. We want to encourage the church to be reading the Bible together, and Proverbs is a very easy way to do it. There's lots of wisdom to be found, and it actually is called wisdom literature, so it's appropriate that we are studying the book of Proverbs, and we've titled the series Get Wisdom. And today, we're going to be looking at God's word about what he has to say about our words. And I'm assuming you already know this, but words can be pretty powerful, am I right? Words are spoken. God in the beginning, God created, God spoke, and the universe leapt into existence. Jesus has the words that give eternal life. And then more recently in history, we know that words can change the course of time. Convictions and passions have been spoken, and civilizations have been birthed. The words of men and women have advanced cultures. Things that have been proclaimed throughout the history of time has had the power to make peace and declare wars. In a more personal level as well, we understand that words have an effect on our lives. Things that have been said to us can influence us in incredible ways. I don't doubt that somebody said something amazing about you. It told you something super encouraging, and it just made you feel alive. It made you feel valuable. It made you feel special. But also, I don't doubt that there's many of you, every one of us, somebody said something about you. They said something to you that's cut you down and tore you apart and left you in pieces and shreds. But the same is true on the other side of the coin, right? You are fully capable of saying amazing things and love and grace and truth and hope and encouragement towards those you love or your fellow stranger man. But also, you have torn down people with just the simple words expressed off of the tip of your tongue. In the book of Proverbs, we read there are over 150 verses that speak directly about the power and the influence and the warning that is our mouths, our words, our tongues, our speech. You pick a proverb, any proverb, it's about an average of 4 or 5 of the verses in every proverb on average is going to speak on your speak. God has a lot to say when it comes to what we should be saying. If you read your proverb for the day yesterday, you came across this verse. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. You always see that contrast in Proverbs, right? Left, right, up, down, right, wrong, yes, no, wise, wicked. It's wisdom. Words are powerful. In one sentence, you have the ability to make someone feel 10 feet tall with your words. And with just a few short syllables, you can cut them down and pierce them like swords and make them feel worthless. We're all capable of doing both. So today's message is titled, The Weightiness of Words. Our words matter. Our words carry some serious weight. There are some real implications when it comes to the things that we say. Whatever you say, for good or for bad, and whether it's soothing or crushing or it's bitter or sweet, this is true about your words. What comes off of your mouth, the words that you speak, can never be unspoken. Once it's out there, you can't get it back in. Our speech is going to have a mark on other people. And our words will not go unnoticed by Jesus himself. In Matthew 12, 36, Jesus says this. You won't hear this on K-Love anytime soon. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. That's me. And that's you. Jesus takes our words seriously. Words are powerful. Words are how we express who we are and what we feel. And Jesus says he's going to judge every one of those perfectly. So this isn't just a message for somebody in your life. I really hope you're not going, oh man, I can't wait for Mike to hear this on Monday. Or you're going like, oh, I'm so glad my husband's here today. He really needs to hear this. No, my friend, no. God's words, yeah, written for them. It's written for you. This message is for me, and this message is for you. The only person in this room that needs to hear this message more than them is you. So let's look at the book of Proverbs. We're really going to camp on two verses. We're going to kind of jump and interweave with Jesus a little bit, what he has to say in addition to this. But really just two verses in Proverbs we're going to look at. Your first point this morning is we're going to talk about the two kinds of tongues. You and I got both of these. In Proverbs 15, verse 28, it says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, thinks, considers, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. First thing we notice in this proverb, right? Two tongues, two types of people. That's wisdom, right, wrong, left, right, up, down. We got two contrasting people. There's one, the righteous, and the other, the wicked. And the proverb is teaching us that we can distinguish these two by what comes out of their mouths. The one thinks, ponders, considers what they say. The other, not so much. Whatever they say, it comes out. No filter. It's the righteous who ponders. The righteous considers. Ooh, I don't really like the way they said that to me. Wait a second. I need to think about what I'm about to say. Contrast that with the wicked who pours out evil things. That's the one with no filter, doesn't ponder, just misfires like it's going out of style, like soft serve ice cream machine. You know, you just walk up to it and you pull that lever down and then there it goes. It's Proverbs teaching us that obviously one's good, one's bad. We should obviously strive for one more than the other. And yet, as we all know, we have the ability to be both of these people. This is both of our tongues. We have both of these hearts inside of us. Two types of tongues. And this is hard. Holding back what you say, pondering, thinking about what you say. Considering what you're going to say, right, in every situation, especially when somebody offends you, somebody upsets you, right? When your feelings get hurt, thinking about the right thing to say, that often gets neglected, right? It's really easy to flex the potty mouth monster than it is pondering what I'm about to say. Having control when things are difficult or I've been upset can be really difficult. Self-control of these two tongues is pretty hard. And when we think about self-control, we usually think about, oh, I really need to stop watching 17 hours of Netflix. I need some self-control here. Or, oh, you know what? I really need to stop spending so much money. Budget, I need to have self-control here. Or diets, and I got to have control on how much food I ate. And God, you got to give me control, because every time I walk into Costco, it's just like there's more and more free samples that they just keep giving to me. Self-control. But how many of us think about self-control with our words? What we say, the things that we shouldn't say. Honest question for you this morning, can you? Can you even control what you say? Are you capable of doing that when you've been insulted or you're feeling completely attacked or you just feel unappreciated or you've been slandered and lied about or you're just raging mad and you've just ran out of patience? Can you actually control what you say? There are those who think, consider, ponder what I'm going to say, and then there are those who just spew out yuck, and you and I have the capability of being both of those people. In those moments, that self-control with our words is often non-existent, right? The results can be catastrophic. It's way easier to just tell you how it is as opposed to thinking about the right way to tell you how it is. I'm sure you've been there. I've been there lots of times. I was here yesterday on the way to church with my family. Me and my wife and my babies were coming to church, and you just start saying stuff. You're not really pondering. You're not really considering what you're saying. My wife said something, and I just misfired. No. And I'm like, oh, no, what I'm about to say, this isn't going to end well. This is going to be bad. You ever been there before? You just start shooting off junk. That was me just a few hours ago. And it was all in my head. It's like, I know this is bad. I know this isn't going to end well. And it was like slow motion. I'm like, no, don't. It's too late. You ever been there? Somebody says something and makes you embarrassed, a little insulting. So you snap back at them with, oh, I'll show them. You get short-tempered with your children. Maybe somebody's accused you of something at work or said something about your character. How do you respond? Can you control what you say? We can make some serious messes because oftentimes we don't think about being a people who should ponder, who should consider what we say, how we should speak. We don't practice self-control with our tongues very well. So the honest answer to can I control what I say would be not very well. The Bible would agree with us, right? We don't always make the best decisions in what we say. We need some serious help here. When you've had a stressful day and your boss throws a whole bunch of more work on you, what's going on under your breath as you walk out of his office? Not always the right thing. Or maybe your stay-at-home mommy feeling unappreciated. You've already changed 72 diapers today, and you got to get the breakfast table set up, and you got to get all the kiddos ready to eat, and then you got to get them off and clean them off and wipe them down and get that table cleaned off, and then you got 14 snacks before lunchtime, and you set up the table all over again and get the food cooked and prepared and wipe the baby's bums again and get the little baby in for a nap and get that dishwasher unloaded and get that laundry folded, and then you're wrestling the other babies while the little baby takes a nap, and then you get up and you have more snacks, and then you got to get all the right shoes and all the right boots on all the right feet and all the coats, and you got to get all those babies in the car, and you got to get all the grocery shopping done, and then you got to get that Christmas gift return. It's been 3 weeks and I don't have a receipt, and then little Johnny's got an eye doctor appointment, and then you get home and there's more outdoors and more cleaning up the house, and then your knight in shining armor bonehead husband comes home from his 8.5 hour day where he had an hour lunch all by himself, and he goes, oh, honey, I am just so exhausted. Hey, how come dinner's not ready? Sister, I hear you. Oh, there are so many things that need to be said to that bonehead. Am I right? Preach it, Pastor, right? But there's a right way and there's a wrong way. Proverbs 15, can you control what you say when that atomic bomb of rage goes off in your head and you're about World War III right here, right now? No, God has a better way. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. It's important, ladies, gentlemen, it's important that you speak and you say something. But it's equally important that you think about it first. How am I going to say this? Wisdom says, God's word says, I need to think about what I'm about to say here. Because I can say something good, I can say something bad. Wisdom says, consider the right way to speak. The right way to speak would be like, hey, you know what, honey? When you walked in the door like that and what you just said, you have no idea how unappreciated that makes me feel. Or coming home and saying something like that was so hurtful. So when we speak, remember, you've got two options. We've got two tongues. One, I can say the right thing. I can say something that can make this better. Or I can say something, and we're just gonna take the gloves off, and we're gonna throw blows right now. One's wisdom, one's foolishness. It's the battle of the two tongues. Another way Proverbs says it, like this, it's another positive and negative. Your tongue is a river of life or a valley of death. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. God's made us to be expressive human beings, so communication is obviously essential for our lives. Speaking with other image bearers of God, our words transcend through just the physical and the emotional, but also the spiritual. Words are powerful. You ever hear the lie, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Pfft, baloney. Not according to the word of God. Words are powerful. Words hurt. Yes, the tongue is very small. Words are just words. Don't let that offend. Don't let them get you. But words are powerful. Words have meanings. Words express people's hearts. That can be painful. Tongues are very small, yes, but they are very powerful. The greatest good and the most incredible harm both lie on our tongues. And Proverbs is about wisdom. We want to preach, get wisdom. God says, recognize this, family. Your tongue has the power to give life or death. That's the power you have with your words. Think about it. The words you say and the way you say them will affect people around you. In every area of your life, from an infant to the elderly, from your own children to the waitress, God's word is so clear about how important it is for believers to be encouraging one another, to be using words to build each other up, to stir one another up in the faith. That's Jesus' model. Jesus said things like, in this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. Jesus used words of hope and encouragement. Jesus said things like, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Jesus gave words of hope and assurance. That should be the Christian's heart. I have the opportunity every moment of my life to speak words of life and power and hope and joy into the lives of everybody around me. We should make a daily practice of that. There's peacemaking, life-giving power on your lips that can encourage your brothers and sisters, that can encourage your family, that can encourage the people you sit next to on the bus or at school or at work. Words of forgiveness and reconciliation that repair friendships, the words of patience and love that have the ability to make your marriages sweet, words of assurance and protection that will make your family grow closer together. Additionally, as Christian people, Holy Spirit-empowered people, the words that we speak, the words that come from our lips that proclaim the gospel of grace has the ability, has the power to bring people from spiritual death to spiritual life. Every day, people are hearing the preaching of the word from pastors and preachers and evangelists. People are hearing the gospel and their lives are being changed, but also words are being expressed from the mouths of mommies and daddies and coworkers and friends about the gospel, and people's lives are being changed. My life was eternally changed back in 2006 because some Christian people spoke words about the gospel to me that saved my life. Beloved, God's given us an incredible gift called communication. We can speak life-giving words to others. Your words have the power of life. And like Proverbs 18 says, and your life will eat the fruit of it. That's beautiful fruit. You want that fruit in your life. Our words can be the river of life, but also our tongues can bring valleys of death. I hope you understand when we're talking about our words, the things that we say, the things that we speak, that extends past our like audible voices. That goes deep down into even what you write, what you email, what you text, what you like, click, post, comment, share. Those are your words too. I hope you understand that. Now, about to get uncomfortable, huh? I'm talking about your social media monsters, I know. It's so important for us as Christians, especially in this digital social media world. We need to take control of our tongues and our fingers. We need to be careful with our words. One of the biggest valleys of death I see today with Christian people is on social media. And I'm not talking like the Gospel Coalition blogs and Desiring God. And like they're doing amazing work with some of these websites and all these different resources that we have. I'm talking about the Christians getting online and talking about stuff. Oh, that's caca. The internet is already such a terrible place, right? Full of cyberbullying, spreading gossip, slandering one another's and their political. Who did you vote for? Oh, you're so dumb. Here's 72 reasons why. All my 22 friends think I'm hilarious. I'm so much better than you. Oh, man, all the half-truths and alternative facts, just ridiculing one another from the safety of our own home, right? And that's just what Christians do. Man, brothers and sisters, we have this amazing platform to use our words to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ and his glorious gospel, and we could put him on display with a click of a button, and yet I just don't see that happening very much. Not much good fruit out there. It's unfortunate because now, more than ever, the unbelieving world, they know more about what Christians hate, what we condemn, what we detest, who we can't stand, more than they do who we love and who we treasure. You want to know why? Because that's all they're reading about online. That's not good. I'll paint you a picture. Not an encouraging one, but something we need to hear. Most of you know these guys. This is the Westboro Baptist Church. I wouldn't call them Baptist or a church. These guys are just awful. Detestable. This is what they are known for. I despise them, and that's a judgment. Jesus says in John chapter 7 that we should judge with right judgment. So they claim to be Christians, so I will exercise the moral and theological and doctrinal exercise of spiritual discernment, and I'd go, these people are not consistent with somebody who has met Jesus and life has been changed in a transforming way. So that is a right judgment. If you want to talk about that afterwards, we can. I would go, that is not consistent with somebody who is a born-again believer who treasures Jesus Christ. The words that these people yell and scream is inconsistent with somebody who loves Jesus. The things that they say are detestable, and it's outside of the character of a Christian person. And so when the world sees these guys, it's always a bummer, like the troublemaker always gets the most attention, right? These guys are always, we always see them on TV when something happens. And the world sees these guys and they go, oh, okay, that's Christianity. Arguing and divisive and ridicule and insulting. Got it. And then they go online. And what do they see Christians in their immediate world doing? Arguing, divisive, ridiculing, insulting. And then they make this connection. They go, oh, those losers out on the street corner, they're saying the exact same things as the Christian people in these YouTube comments. Isn't that interesting? Got it. So therefore, they make the assumption. They go, oh, so what those guys believe and what these guys believe, that's what you guys believe. That's what Christians do. That's what they say. That's how they treat people. They're just valleys of death. That's what Christians do. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And obviously, Westboro people, the stuff that they say is way extreme, right, compared to the normal, everyday internet troll. Like, oh, you're stupid. Oh, no, you're stupider. It's like, that's actually not a word. You're way more stupid. But here's the thing. I know we all agree. Man, those Westboro dudes, they're embarrassing. That's horrible. And yeah, the social media monsters, that's embarrassing too. But what I'm trying to say is that you and I, we have the same tongue. The same power of death that they spew is on our lips as well. And oftentimes, our life is the fruit of that. Sure, we aren't picketing anybody. We may not be going online and insulting people. We just go home and we pour it out on our loved ones, the people we care most about. Husbands and wives in heated arguments, saying things that they would never want said to them, and it's just catastrophe. Friendships falling apart because words spoken about them that have been found out or the things said about them in the past, they comes to fruition and they go, wow, that's incredibly awful that you would say. Friendships ruined. Children and parents divided because of verbal abuse growing up in their homes. The words that we say can be like valleys of death to those we love the most. Christian, are you a river of life or a valley of death? The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, Christians should be marked by this. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. What we say, what we text, what we type, what we share can be rivers of life or valleys of death. Your words are powerful, Christian. You have an influence. What does the world hear? What are they seeing? We must not be known as the corrupt, abusive, angry people that Paul warns against here in Ephesians chapter 4. That goes against everything that Jesus has called us to be as followers of him. In Matthew 5, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, not the social media monsters. Colossians 4 says, let your words be gracious, not full of poison and hatred. The world hears what we're saying. They hear, they see what we're posting, and they're responding, yeah, I don't want anything to do with that. Christians, we have an influence. And I understand we all struggle with the words we say and how we say them and our attitudes and the things that we may say online, the things that we say to our loved ones that we know we shouldn't. We get angry, we get short-tempered, and we've had enough, and that's just a battle. And here's the thing. You can read Proverbs every day this month. That is amazing. You should do that. You can read every single day. You're going to hear verses from the book of Proverbs that talks about our voice, our tongues, our speech, what we should say, and the warnings of what could happen from what we say. And we go, oh, amen, that's so good. And then tomorrow, you're going to fail. You're going to fumble. You're going to say something really dumb. Because our tongues are beyond our control. In James chapter 3, Jesus' half-brother James says it this way. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. I think James is, honestly, I think he's being pretty sweet with that statement. That's an understatement if we're honest. We can tame horses and beasts, and we can reel them in and take, yeah, but we not our own tongues. It's beyond control, right? Not very encouraging, I know, but it's true. I'll prove my point. Next time you stub your toe, oh, I guarantee it's not, oh, may the flesh of my heart be forgotten, my strength and my portion forever. Doubt it. You walk into your children's room, and they're painting the dog with ketchup. Whom have I in heaven but you? On earth there is nothing I desire beside you. Boss calls you in. while you're on vacation and says, sorry, Joe, looks like we're going to need you back in here on Monday. Beep, 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 beep. Our tongues are restless, quick to betray, ridicule, hate on someone that ruffles our feathers or makes a mess out of our lives, or it's just something that just gets in our way and annoys us, or we get angry and it makes us do something we're not ready to do. Our tongues are just ready to betray everybody. So for James to say that we're like a forest fire, like that's an understatement. He's being pretty sweet there. But wait, there's more. Because this is a bigger problem than just our mouths. I hope you see that. This is a bigger problem than our words, the things that we say. Because you see, our tongues are really, they're just a patsy. Some of y'all know who this is. This is Lee Harvey Oswald. He was arrested. They claim this man killed President John F. Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963. Do I believe that? No. Why? Because I love facts and truth. Am I a conspiracy theorist? Nope. Again, I like truth and facts. You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. Hey, what about the Warren Commission and all the evidence that they've hidden? Oh, they're all dead. They can't talk about that. That's convenient. What about Jack Ruby and Clay Shaw and their involvement with the CIA, who Jack Ruby later kills this man before he opens his mouth? Anyway, sorry, where was I? Patsy. This guy right here. Is he innocent? No. Did he kill Officer Tippett hours after? Yeah, this guy knew what was going on. He's not innocent here, okay? But Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested 5 hours after the assassination of President Kennedy. And then shortly before this picture was taken, Lee Harvey Oswald said, I'm just a patsy. And then shortly after this picture was taken, he was killed by said Jack Ruby, forever hushing him up from spilling the beans about what was going on. But point being, Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy. He says, I'm a patsy. What's a patsy? A patsy is somebody who's made out to be the fool, or the one who has been duped to be the bad guy, who takes the hit, who takes the jail time. Meanwhile, the real bad guys, they're halfway across the Pacific Ocean starting a new life. Oswald said, I'm just a patsy. He's saying, I've been set up. I've been tricked. A patsy is somebody who takes the blame. But they aren't the real source of the problem. Point being, our tongues, our mouths, they're just a patsy. In Jeremiah 17, it's the heart that's deceitful above all things. In Matthew 15, Jesus says, for it's out of the heart that comes the evil thoughts and the murder and the adultery and the sexual immorality and theft and false witness and slander. The stuff that we say, that comes out of my heart. The problem's our heart. This battle for our words, what we say, begins with our hearts. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our hearts, John Calvin says, are idol factories. We'll worship anything other than Jesus, and we'll build up anything other than fruits of the Spirit, if not dependent on Him. Our hearts are idol factories, scheming, devious. It's where we mass produce all of this junk, right? Self-righteousness that starts in my heart. I'm better than that guy. Oh, honey, we don't hang out with those types of people. That starts in your heart. Anger. How dare you talk to me like that starts in my heart. Envy. Who does she think she is getting that raise? It's because she always dresses like that, man. That starts in your heart. All those responses, that's a heart problem. These bitter, unsatisfied, ungrateful, entitled, disrespectful hearts, all kinds of evils. The slander and the gossip and the lies and the deceit, it gets processed and packaged right here in our hearts, and it gets shipped up and delivered straight out of our mouths. The battle for our speech begins with our hearts. So the big question this morning is not so much, what is it that's spilling out of your hearts, but more importantly, what is filling up your heart? Not what's coming out of my mouth, what's coming into my heart. Like Josh said last week, right, the heart It's the expression of the deepest thoughts and feelings of a person. What's going on in your heart is what's going to be coming out of your mouth. And what's coming out of your mouth is just proclaiming to everybody the big old billboard sign of what's going on in your heart. For good or for bad, for better, for worse, sweet or sour, life or death, wicked or righteous. It's your heart that's going to direct how we treat others, how we speak to others. And there's a word of warning with that, because we can often work really, really hard to clean up our speech. Oh, I'm not going to listen to as much gangster rap as I used to. Okay, God help me with my speech here. We can really clean up our speech and leave our hearts completely unchanged. And that's a warning, because do you know what that is? That's religion. I'm going to clean myself up externally. I'm going to look real good on the outside. When Jesus says, oh, but inwardly you're dead man's bones. You're a rotting corpse. Don't want anything to do with that religious stuff. That won't end well. That will help you in no way. That's how religion gets done. Fix all the external stuff. Cleaning up your speech is not going to fix your heart problem. So practically, you don't need me to get up here and give you 5 tips and tricks on how to conquer this monster called your mouth, because I would only be wasting your time if I tried. We need new hearts. That's our only hope, is we need Jesus to give us new hearts daily, every day. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. That's the Christian's heart. It is vital, beloved, that this is your life. God, create in me a new heart. Our hearts are prone to wander. We're going to sing that after this message this morning, Come Thou Fount, because it's true. We sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Take it. Seal it for the courts above. God, I'm a mess. You've got to take this heart. I'm just going to let you run with it, because I'm just going to ruin it, right? It's like Gollum, and when he gets the ring, his precious, right? It just ruins everything, right? That's like our heart. If we have control of it, we're in trouble. I know Pastor Josh, he's going to be so excited. He's going to be so proud of me that I referenced Lord of the Rings this weekend. But it's true. If we're in control, it just, beloved, today, tomorrow, the next day, you're going to experience difficult people. You're going to have discouraging things show up in your life. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to upset you. Someone's going to offend you online. And we need Jesus to help us respond with words of patience and humility, or words of, I'm not going to say anything. We must be people who are dependent on Jesus to change our hearts. Make this your life, Christian. The moment you wake up, you go to the Lord, asking him to direct every thought, asking him to direct every word, ask him to direct every interaction that you're going to have today, and declare, Jesus, I'm depending on you today, not my ability, because left to our own devices, we'll lead ourselves astray and into bitterness and anger and hostility before we even make it to the toothbrush. Our hearts are just bent towards just entitlement and, ooh, nasty. And if you don't think that's true, then you don't rightly understand the severity of our sin and our pride and our flesh. Before we ever utter one word to another human being, before we have the opportunity to speak life or death into another image bearer of God, we must go to God first and ask for his power, ask for his spirit to take over our hearts, to go, Jesus, you need to give me a new heart today. You need to give me a better heart today. It's 8 a.m. and I'm already in some trouble. I need some help here. That's the Christian's heart. That's the only hope we have for changing what's going to come out of our mouths, is if Jesus is in control of our hearts. What's got your heart? So as we close, obviously there's so much we could talk about when it comes to words, how we say them, how we shouldn't say them, how we shouldn't speak, lots of other messages. But today, I think it's pretty clear that our words are powerful. And God's equipped us. God's given us an amazing gift of communication to be able to speak life into other people. We can lift others up with sweetness and joy, and we can also tear them apart. The battle for our mouth is a forest fire that it's above our pay grade. We can't put it out. We need something better. We need someone better. We need the Spirit of God to intervene and change our hearts every day. May this be our prayer every single moment of our life. Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's Christianity. I'm depending on someone greater. God has equipped you, beloved, to be an incredible influence in our world with your actions, with your words, with your voice, as friends, as husbands and wives and mommies and daddies, as children, as employees, as teachers, most especially as Christians, as Christian people. You will have a great influence on others, whether for good or bad. So let's pray together. And let's ask God for his help. Jesus, we thank you for your word. The words that you speak are truth. We thank you, Jesus, that it's your words that give eternal life. We love your life-giving words, Jesus. We thank you, the word of God who became flesh. We have hope, we have forgiveness, we have healing. Jesus, we confess. We have this battle going on in our hearts, with our tongues, every moment. Jesus, would you give us lips to say the right thing? Will you give us brains to consider the right thing to say? Father, may we never be a people whose mouths are just open graves, valleys of deaths, but be peoples and people who are proclaimers of truth and life and hope in the risen Savior, Jesus. Jesus, will you protect us from our own hearts? Will you replace our words with your words? We thank you for your life, your words. You speak forgiveness towards our sin. You speak patience and love towards our bitterness, our selfishness. Jesus, thank you that everything you give us is so much better than what we could amount to by ourselves. So Jesus, we give you our hearts this morning as people, as your beloved, as your bride, who are absolutely dependent on you to work all things together for good in our life. We confess that. We need you, Jesus. We love you. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our rock, our Redeemer, our Savior, in who we trust. It's in your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.